on my phone like an idiot. And I start to get messages from guys from the military asking me, hey, where are you today? Can you attend a press conference at Ministry of Defense?
Yeah.
And it's a joint press conference by the police and the Ministry of Defense. And I was like, I've never seen that happen. Only for Kiraitha to trot out this gentleman with the military there. And I just knew, man, upper. Yeah, there's someone who must have got to me. Maybe I'm misremembering it, but I remember standing on a chair and telling one of our cameramen to stand up with me to try and film. And I saw Msee wa GSU akatoa hiyo nini yake refu akijaribu kumgonga Raila. Drama. Miguna, if I remember correctly, we were coming out. Kimayo was the head of Nairobi at the time. Amem secure Kivuitu with another police officer who I don't remember. They were taking him up. From that side over there, Ukochini, I see Miguna coming out. Now, I didn't know who Miguna was at the time until later. And I remember screaming at Kivuitu, we won't accept stolen results. We won't accept. Like, guys were upset.
Yeah.
Wase wakatoka, the entire place was told, you guys just leave. I remember now leaving and seeing my boss now, Linus Kaikai, doing a stand-up as he's being kicked out by GSU.
Yeah.
He's being pushed out, and he's talking on camera, who are being kicked out. And now me and my younger guy, I'm just watching all of this unfold. And then I get to the gate of KICC, City Hall, and I looked up the road now towards Uhuru Park. Behind of Uhuru Park, I saw a pillar of black smoke just rising.
Oh,
iyo sasa ilikuwa ni Kibera. By the time tumefika ofisi, and like the office was just there, I&M. By the time tumefika ofisi, tumesikia wase wa K24 wameporwa kila kitu, wamepigwa. Watu, Kibera is a no-go zone. Then ati, you know, because the year before KTN had been raided, news ilitokea ati, hey man, we might be raided again. Watu waishia. This is how I'm remembering it. There might be facts that I'm missing. So tukatoka. The results were announced.
Nikikurudisha nyuma kidogo. So UGSU alitry kugonga Raila. What happened to him?
Hey man, see, walikuwa wengi. So now Raila alitolewa like by his supporters. And then now just all hell broke loose inside that room. Then GSU kicked everybody out. Out of the building. And we were all pushed out. But that guy, I don't know who he was. But you know, in an already tense situation, that action, I think ndio ilifanya sasa vitu vi
escalate.
Escalate mbaya sana. That was a weird thing about that time. And I remember standing on the chair and looking, and I'm like, what the hell is this guy about to do? And it just went crazy from there.
Alafu your time, like, a State House was only KBC. Ama pia nyi mlikuwa? State House only let any?
State House ilikuwa KBC. But kuna station ingine waliambiwa hiyo asubuhi. Can you guys go and set up at State House? So, meaning that unaambiwa, there's a result that's going to be announced, and a swearing in that's going to be announced. I won't say the station. When does that all investigate?
We become you.
Okay. Now, what do you feel like that, Nini? Sijui kama saizi, you can comment on that, but do you think that did to Kibaki's legacy?
Oh, obviously, it tainted it. Obviously. I was like a young reporter at the time that the Kibaki miracle was, you know, the Kibaki economic miracle was supposedly now just, you know, taking flight. And there were a lot of good things about that time. I'm sure ukikumbuka what it felt like wakati Moi ametoka.
Tuko tuna arrest makawa nini? Cops.
Ndio. Ilikuwa time fiti sana. Like, and when you were young at that time, because I remember I was like 18, 19 when Kibaki was sworn in. Then to go into the newsroom. Niliingia now newsroom, the year of the referendum where now things now started falling apart. So I was supposed to actually have gone into the newsroom around that time. But my internship was delayed in Kaingia December. Covering now... or watching people cover, because the first times it's really just watching the big political reporters cover this stuff, you start to see that diverging, you know, political landscape. Like it started to break apart, you know, from that time, like really visibly. And in the newsroom, there were also people who went on one side, others went on another side. It was like you get covering something for the first time. There were a lot of things that people didn't know. It was new territory.
Yeah.
So a lot of things were being made up as things, you know, people went along. But it was both an interesting time to report, but also a very interesting time to be in the newsroom to observe what was happening. To Kibaki's legacy, that tainted it. But a lot of things had happened prior to that that would have tainted it anyway.
Yeah,
Anglo leasing, lots of corruption scandals. Remember how Mungiki were dealt with?
Yeah.
That was Kibaki's time. It was 2006 that guys were being killed in the countryside like no one's business. So there was a lot of things that were going on that could have possibly tainted his legacy, but none as bad as the election.
Okay. Yeah. Alafu nini, do you feel like 2002 na 2005 were the reason why no one at that point thought elections like would happen like that? Unakunga like there was a certain level by the time watu wanaenda kulala, watu walikuwa like, ah, umesha lose, we have a new president. Do you feel like hizo mbili zilifanya?
I think watu walikuwa na faith sana na media, and then also the fact that we had come from 24 years of a dictatorship where you know that umse anaweza fanya anything. Because if you remember, like 2002, the tension was, will Moi let go of this thing?
Yes.
And that was a big unanswered question. So I think when Moi let go, there was a huge sigh of relief, and they were like, ah, if Moi, kama Moi angeachilia,
mtu yote ataachilia.
Exactly. Then 2005, the referendum comes and the government loses.
And it accepts.
Exactly, and it accepts. You know, so guys were like, ah, basi yenyewe, our democracy ina.
Yeah.
Now, so when 2007 came, I guess we didn't realize the stakes in the ball game, and a lot of people were taken by surprise by that, yeah.
Okay. Alafu now, as a reporter, tuko tunaongea na this lawyer, naitwa Piki Piki Ponki, Willis. Willis was telling us that, according to him,
ati Piki Piki Ponki.
Yeah, yeye mwenyewe ujita hivyo, Piki Piki Ponki.
Umsewa nini, paka mielo disco.
Yeah, paka mielo disco, yes. So tukonongea na yeye na alikuwa anatuambia that according to yeye, if Kenyan election results were clean in quotes, we'd not need all that time. That by the first day, by saa sita usiku, NIS waga wanajua nani ya shashinda. What do you think?
Yeah. I'd agree with that statement. Even without like checking the facts, because if there's a job that the NIS has, it's to understand, it's to constantly check the pulse of the country, of the nation, and it would be remiss of any service like that not to know. In fact, they wouldn't be doing their jobs if they didn't know. So I'd you know, wager that walikuwa shajua. Now, what happened in the political sort of like war room is, I think, what changed the politics of our country. Na hii ndiyo kitu tunafaa tu address juu. Many times, I think, watu wanasahau, like, Kenyans are some of the most brilliant people in almost every field.
Yeah.
Security, business, whatever. And we have very, very competent people everywhere. Everywhere. And those competent people do their jobs 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Kitu yanya inaharibu is that there's always this cabal of greedy people who are in the kitchen cabinet of this powerful situation. You know, anasema apana, it's going to go like this. And those guys have now managed to influence and poison almost every important institution in this country. So that's why even when you have a competent intelligence service, even a more or less competent policing service, and I'm saying this like you know, in quotes, a competent judiciary, as long as the people who sit on top of it can act with impunity, then all of those actions, and these people below them do not respond, then whatever the institution, it will always have to bend to the will of these guys. And that is the, that's going to be the decider of whether Kenya succeeds or it fails. Can we ensure that, better or worse, the people that we elect guard these institutions jealously?
Yeah.
Because if they don't, then these institutions will become rubber stamps for whatever it is they want to do.
Mm. Mm. But are you having interacted with politicians? Do you think there is hope? Because you know what, we interact now and like...
Let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
You know, every generation is gonna struggle, yake.
Yeah.
But imagine that you were living in Kenya in 1986. You're an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
You're politically active. And you're interested in what's going on in the country.
Mm.
Then your friends start disappearing.
Oh.
And before you know it, you hear that this friend of yours died in jail from multiple organ failure.
Mm.
Another one committed suicide by jumping off of the top of Nyati House, which is a highly secure building. Exactly. Mm. Before you know it, you're hearing that there are hundreds of people being waterboarded and sleeping in waterlogged cells, being electrocuted, you know, some certain parts of their bodies in Afinywa. And you look at the fact that there's no opposition. There is almost total control over the country.
No freedom of speech.
No freedom.
If
you are Kenyan in that time, what would you say about whether things would ever change? So for me, I think we are actually in a much better position for things to be able to change. Because if there's any generation that can change this country, it's this generation. We have the knowledge, on education, we are networked. More or less, especially in the younger generations, there's the question of tribalism that we are dealing with. And the real issue, and I think this is why Ruto's campaign was so persuasive, the real issue in Kenya is now not an issue of umetoka wapi. It's an issue of hunger. Like the economy, not, and I'm not saying that the economy is more important than politics. I mean it in terms of what it is giving, delivering to the people. When you have a discussion like that, then you create a completely new, different class and tribe. What I think happened in 2022 is that politicians took advantage of that.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a change, there's a very big change in the mentality of the Kenyan. And what they're doing is now, it's ni kama wanatupea sumu. Cynicism, not trusting the word of the politician, not trusting the ruling of the judiciary, seeing corruption happen around us. Ni kama unapewa sumu kila siku. So it's us who need to say we're not going to take that poison. And I think this is a generation that can do it. Is, you know, think about it. Which politician that was like big from 2007, like big, with the exceptions of a few like Ruto, we can say Uhuru as well, and Raila, and maybe Kalonzo. Which of their class, now the guys under them, do you think are going to be here in the next 10 years? You know, even these guys that we're talking about, they're exiting. What we should be worried about are the Sakajas.
The next generation.
Are the Sifunas. Are these guys who are now capturing our interest now, how are those guys going to lead us over the next minute? Those are the guys I think we should be watchful of. So ukiona kitu yenye nafanya like oh dem mwenye anamsumbuanga nini Sakaja online, Hanifa. That's what we should be doing. Ah man, keep these guys accountable every day, ndio wasisahau kuna Wakenya that need their service.
Alafu kwanza hiyo ni kitu nilikuwa nataka kuuliza, una feel what's going to be the impact of TikTok in like future elections? Because I feel like nowadays since you go live sana, do you think watu watakuwa kigo live kwa polling stations, and do you feel like that might affect altering of results?
I think it might. But here's the thing about where we are in, that where we're at. We are in a situation where you can go live from anywhere.
Yeah.
but they're also in a situation where people can really influence information very negatively, very quickly, using the same tools. So for me, the internet is a tool that has allowed for a lot of exposure. What we need today is something that we are tending to forget. It's discernment. Like, when I go live, what is the reason why I'm doing this? You know, when I do this certain thing, so ndio inaweza badilisha vitu, and we'll get a lot more clarity from the ground. And even in terms of counting, we'll be able to do that. What we need to do with this power that we have right now is to use it with discernment, and be focused on what it is that we're doing, and to remember that Kenya is not unique.
Yeah,
other bigger countries have stumbled because even with the power of the things that they've had, they've stumbled. We need to now start thinking, if we want our elections to go properly, what do we do today? What do we build today? How do we keep guys accountable today? So that tomorrow when we are using our phones, it's not too late. Najua unaweza enda TikTok kasema, oh, hey, ilikuwa ni hivi na hivi na hivi na hivi. But election ilikuwa imeibiwa last year. Look at some of our countries in the neighborhood. Mzee ameiba election the year before. Mnaenda kupiga kura, nashangaa, ai, kumeendaje?
Ni public participation.
Exactly. You know.
Oh, okay. Alafu, then, how was it... being like one of the last interviewers were Chris Msando, like
that was weird. Not because, like, at the time, you know, you're interviewing a guy, he's a director of ICT, he's you know, he seems fairly competent, he seems fairly confident, so you don't think much about it in terms of who he is. What I was, you know, rather interested in is like what he was saying, etc. But I remember when the guy disappeared, I was like, man, did we just interview this guy just a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
So for me, the trip was just all hindsight. Like, you know, you're in a situation and you're in a room with a person who you're like, I wish I knew. I wish I knew that this
was the last time.
Or this guy would be the target of so much attention and that he would be murdered.
Yeah.
You know, but that's all I can say, really, because you know, he didn't tell me anything special or different.
It was just the confidence, because I remember when you watch your interview, I was like, there'll be no dead voters. We have all this. If this level fails, there's this level. If this level fails, there's this.
So ilikuwa ni your confidence, actually, that spoke to me. But was I? Did I even think that this guy would be the target of something?
Alafu ushaisikia the theory, because I think it's the cop. We had a cop anaitwa Watenge. Was it Watenge? Like, I remember someone told us that the mistake that Msando did was your morning interview that he did at NTV. And he talked about his finger is needed. And was he mutilated? Finger yake ilikuwa missing? Was there anything that was missing?
I can't recall. I can't recall. But I think for me, no matter the mistakes that he made, the truth of the matter is that I think that plan had been set in motion
way before,
quite a bit earlier. That's just my own theory.
Makes sense that in morning na jioni ameshaifanya
quite a bit earlier. If you speak to commissioners from that time, they will tell you the kind of vetting that they go through after they are nominated and elected and join, like orientation wanapitia, there are certain things that certain agents now start to reach out to them and tell them that can kind of tell you what direction things so the statecraft around elections doesn't just happen on the day. I think it's the foolish politician who steals an election on the day, or the politician who doesn't have access to those things that steals on the day. For me, those things happen way in advance.
Although na move feel ni kama 2007 really happen on the day.
No, 2007 I think ilikuwa ni tofauti. But also because kuna vitu ambavyo we didn't have in place. And let's face it, both sides stole in that election. I know, not like sikujua ni kuona and pia kuambiwa, people who went and voted 3-4 times for one candidate.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
On both sides.
Yeah.
I think 2007 was a contest about who stole more and who stole better.
Mm-mm.
That's just my assessment.
Okay. Mm. Okay. And then nini ikikuja to like the stories that you've done, eh?
Mm.
Which one did you feel like was the most risky? You only feel like hey jo. Cuz kuna time pia sisi remember like the way you are talking about like jokes zetu na kina Rapture. And sometimes we make jokes and I'm there like hata Rapture makes a joke and I'm like hii ni za tuletea shida. Hii ni za tuletea shida.
So si kama juzi sijui alimwambia rais nini bana.
Yeah, ila story ya Java.
Niona umse anatukuliwa tu jioni.
I think there's a worse one.
Ile there's a worse one.
Saizi, ile ina run saizi ni worse. So,
right.
Yeah. But I think that's the I think the work of a comedian is to say what everyone is thinking.
That's
not
true.
Saying.
That's true. So for me, the most dangerous... I mean, the most dangerous has to be Riverside because there it was a life situation.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, I remember there was a time we were filming inside one of those places, those buildings where they're trying to nini.
Mm.
And by this time, a lot of journalists had come.
Mm.
Then someone shouts, "Grenade!
Where?"
Yeah. Guy had imegonga mic.
Iza.
Nimeishia, Kanye ame withdraw. Like it was scary. Because you know that thing, if it explodes there. And it was true, there was an exploded grenade too up or two.
Yeah.
Hey, that was scary. Then you're there. I remember there was one time where they were hiding behind some of those palm trees as you're going. And I'm recording on my phone. And then my mom calls. She's seen one of the videos that nilikuwa nimepost kwa WhatsApp sana kwa Twitter imeenda. She's like, "Whoa, kijana wangu." You know, then I'm trying to tell her, "Hey, relax, niko hapa ni nini." Then now as I'm talking, msee ametoa ka M16 yake and he's shooting at a building. I think my mom died like 10 times.
Yeah.
At call. I was even scared for her. So I was like, "Wacha ni hang up, alafu simu ikadai." But yeah, that was definitely one of the most scary ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like come to investigative pieces, kuna kuwaga na the story that the Saitoti crash also came with threats. Yo, Saitoti
haikuwa nini, haikuwa mbaya vile.
Yeah.
Let me see, the one that I was most...
Because this Saitoti crash, why is it kuna kuwaga na watu sema it was a political whatever?
See,
was it an accident, like from the...
So there are a lot of questions, like because of the autopsies that reveal certain things about the nature of... whether there was smoke inhalation, you know, where the plane crash died, happened, why they went offline, why the pilots, some of them seem to have been unconscious and not in control of the plane. Because you see the way it crashed, what people were saying is that maybe the pilot had lost
passed
control
out.
And, and passed out. So a lot of questions. So I think that's why for the Saitoti one was controversial, but also because, remember, this is George Saitoti. He is a very rich politician.
Yeah.
Very powerful politician. Has served in very important dockets and so especially internal security and so has a very strong network.
Yeah.
Is senior enough to have Kibaki places.
Yeah.
His hand on him as a leader and was considering running for presidency.
Yeah.
So he would have been a factor in as much as people walikuwa nasemanga ni colorless etc.
Yeah.
That guy would have been a factor. He would he'd have been a factor in an election where he needed. Now
he actually kwa when
was 2012.
Yeah, okay.
2012. So a year before the election. So you see that's why the there was that political context around it. Now and then now to add to that those two questions about who he was then remember there was Reinenberger who I think met him before he gets on the flight.
Yeah.
Like there were a lot of like very weird coincidences that happened around that specific flight. Even the guys who were supposed to be flying were not the ones who were the plane the helicopter was not supposed to be the one. Like there were so many different things that happened. And to the extent that you wonder, is this one coincidence too many? Am I just an unfortunate accident? That's why I think for me the Saitoti thing lives in infamy. for a lot of people.
Kuna another pia ile ulitushtuaga na ilikuwa ile time ya Felician Kabuga, the Kabuga story. So with this one, with this one swali inakuwaga, was that Kabuga? Was Kabuga in Kenya?
Kabuga was in Kenya.
Okay.
Kabuga was in Kenya for a number of years, and that's been proven, not just by me, but by other people.
Yeah.
I think for me, the why I felt badly about that thing is the amount of time and effort that we had put into that story as a team. And then for me to be slipped some bad information, and then to have exposed a person who was innocent badly.
Yeah.
I remember watching it because that time we had gone into hiding. The threats were crazy.
Like,
what people, maybe some people don't realize is that a month before the story ran, actually not a month, 2 months before the story ran, we had already started receiving sort of like threats.
Oh, watu wako wanajua inakuja.
Yeah. Because, you know, at that time, una reach out to sources, ni nini mtu anaongea na mwingine. So my wife had left work. We had to pull, at least we were young, but we pulled our kids out of kindergarten.
Yeah.
We were living in a different apartment. And the weekend, the Friday before the story runs, we leave the country. The Monday after the story runs, naingia kwa mtandao. And then, you know, I'm seeing some strange chatter and some. Then I put on my phone like an idiot. And I start to get messages from guys from the military asking me, hey, where are you today? Can you attend a press conference at Ministry of Defense?
Yeah.
And it's a joint press conference by the police and the Ministry of Defense. And I was like, I've never seen that happen. Only for Kiraitha to trot out this gentleman with the military there. And I just knew, man, upper. Yeah, there's someone who must have got to me. And like my regret is more for what it must have done for that man and his family. Because, you know, I knew at a certain point in time that my job was secure because of the kind of due diligence tulikuwa tumefanya kabla story ran, you know. But that thing really changed career yangu kabisa, and not in a good way in some ways, but also in a good way in other ways. From that day onward, I promised myself I would never be in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Hadi, the day that he was arrested, May 26th, 2020, I remember getting that news and I'm like, finally.
Yeah.
Like, finally, I can put this thing to rest. Finally, these things will come out.
Where was he arrested?
He was arrested in Paris, in some rich neighborhood in France.
Yeah,
he was arrested in Paris. And the story of his arrest is incredible. You should go and read it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, finally, like, things are going to come out, etc. And, like, I can now breathe again. Because that thing, it really hurt me.
Yeah.
And then the guy is now too old, and I think he's suffering from dementia. And he might not stand trial at all.
Yeah.
So like, how, it's a bit of a bittersweet ending. Not bitter, not even bittersweet. The guy is in custody, but he's useless.
Oh. You know? So kwa nini nafikiria mtu aliamua kukuteka on that wild, like, ama to discredit you?
Exactly. Ilikuwa in the interest of those people who discredit your story. This is my view. And I remember someone who's now fairly senior in government now telling me that that's exactly what happened. And yeah, I mean, if you know, when someone tells the truth about something like that, can be very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Especially in a region that all of us grew up and knew exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's 30 years since the genocide happened this year. So there'll be guys now, my 18-year-olds were 2007.
Yeah.
There'll be a whole generation that doesn't know. But you and I, all of us here, we know. We saw those things happening on TV.
Yeah.
We remember what the rumors were about how Atio, their river, their bodies flooding, you know, choking rivers, and we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't eat fish. Like, it was a strange, very scary and sad time. So can you imagine being the president of a neighboring country And then your fellow president tells you, by the way, you guys have been harboring the guy who was important in orchestrating the murder of over a million people.
Yeah.
What do you say? You know, what do you say? It can be highly embarrassing as a diplomatic incident. And so I think there was enough incentive for them to make sure that, yeah, the story went away.
Oh, okay, okay. Alafu, nilichiki kwa nini? This one, you're doing it on the last door, eh? And story ya Sharon. Sharon Otieno and this like Obado story and then this is coming out around the same time Ellen Mecheki like the corruption case here Sonko imekuwa thrown out these stories that do you feel like corruption hapa Kenya can it ever be cured and impunity corruption and impunity like after being a journalist for that long na kuwa na watu wote wakipelekwa kotini and everyone comes out clean mweupe kama pamba
it's an interesting question. So how I'll answer it is like how I answered it before.
Yeah.
There's always a way out. Mm. Always. We can always become better. But there's always a danger of things becoming worse and worse. It's like death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
And that for me is what the threat of corruption is in our country. It's death by a thousand cuts. This past week, we saw a mushroom cloud of gas and an explosion. And if you think about it, Larry said, I think he said it on his tweet, and I agree, that's the cost of corruption.
Yeah.
When you see a hospital that doesn't have medicine, now people, you know, people are being treated with the wrong kind of dawas, that's the cost of corruption. It's death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
When you see our institutions being cannibalized na mtu anasema ah, mi hata sisiki you know sheria nini nini miwa mnafuata Mungu and suddenly a law that you don't understand becomes the law of the land that allows for people to do things that's a cost of corruption.
Yeah.
Ukiona kanisani you know mapasta wanajiunga na wanasiasa na wanalipa huko nyuma and you completely just evaporate the faith that people have in that institution, in their religion. That's the cost of corruption. Everything can change. It takes willpower to change. But people forget that countries have also disappeared from this planet.
Yeah.
You get, they become new territories or people forget them and something else happens. How long has it taken for Somalia to get back to where it is today?
Yeah.
Na bado tunayangalia kama a failed state. You know, angalia Sudan chenye inaendelea saa hii. Sudan, watu wasipojipanga, that country is going to go the way of Somalia.
Yeah.
And why? How many years of a corrupt military dictatorship did they have? How many years now are they suffering under corrupt military juntas fighting for power? We need to remember that we're not exceptional.
Yeah.
But also that things can change. So for me, it's yes and no. Yes, corruption can be dealt with. But it's going to take us doing it. Tusiangalie watu wengine. Right?
Yeah.
Tujiangalie and then we...
Okay. Bila design ya Saudi Sol na Nyashinski. Tujiangalie. Alafu nini, and I guess like, ukifika yu level yako, I'm sure there is a lot of times we'll gonna receive calls to kill a story. And these calls would come, before we threaten you, we have to try to pay you off.
To bribe you.
Yes. So yu likuwa gaje? Like,
aye man. Tempting mbaya sana
bana. Yeah.
Kwa newsroom your time umesota. Another and for me it usually happened through another journalist. Journalist anakuambia we kuja. Kuna umse, he's a friend of mine. Alisema wewe ongea na yeye tu. So he doesn't want to tell you what he's been told. Then you're being offered heavy money, like good cash.
Yeah.
There's a time now when I thought that it would never happen was now during when I joined, when we started African Censored.
Yeah.
But there was a time a guy who was like a journalist come operator, let me call him that. Kakuja, and there was a story that we were doing and he was like, okay, you do this, eh? Just write down for me the figure that you want on this, on this serviette.
Yeah.
Kamwangalia, I was like, hey man, me, I can't do this thing. Like, John, And there's a saying that Sam, cameraman, came and he told us another time, It was like he was trying to defend our journalism. That time tulikuwa bado tuko KTN.
Yeah.
And another journalist turned to him and told him, so we unaweza kula ethics, eh? It's a deep question. You can't eat ethics.
Mm.
Or rather, you can't physically eat them.
Yeah.
To me, my answer is that if I've survived this long, I've actually eaten the ethics that I seem to stand for. But there's a couple of instances that were very
tempting.
Because
you're open check. Like just, you know.
Yeah.
I love Sasa now. Man. I think also if you take the bribe, they end up owning you.
Exactly. So nothing's for free.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's for free.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time I was in a very interesting place and a similar offer was made not too long ago.
Yeah.
And you know, unakumbuka hiyo story ya Yesu na Shetani, unaambiwa this world will be yours.
Yeah.
You just kneel.
So you want to go private school?
Hey bro. At a private school. Yani the best
for life.
For life.
Yeah.
Which car do you want your wife to drive? You will be able to buy it next month. At which address bado unalipa rent? Sorted.
Yeah.
Hizo pesa tutakupatia. You know. ATM itakuwa na choka ukienda kwa ATM. Naenda brrrr, you know. Hey bro.
Na need servicing.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a clear conscience is the most is the most invaluable thing.
Yeah. Could the ya majuzi, could it have been because of the land story? Because you nini yenu ya land, it was a very good one.
Land hapana. Bado, well, kuna watu walikuwa me reach out.
Yeah.
We kill. No, it was another story. It was another story that was based in the coast with some very heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And it's a story that even didn't get a lot of traction. It was a text story. Yeah, but hiyo ya land ilikuwa ni mzito. Ilikuwa ni mzito.
Yeah.
I know that the guys who did it will have been reached out to. Hata kama hawajaniambia.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Of course, talking of coast, are you the one who did this? I remember back in the days, this. Nafikiri ni wewe ulifanyaga juu ya people who were getting sick because of, I don't know if it was a mining company.
Oh, yes, on the metal refinery. That was the last story that we did at KTN. Yeah, it was us.
They won an offer. Kituka yukwa, kuchini yama?
So they won an award.
Yeah,
let me tell you how like injustice works. They were awarded, I think, 1.2 billion shillings.
Yeah, I remember kama hiyo.
Which was one of the biggest class action awards ever in Kenya. Nini?
Yeah.
Guess who appealed? The Attorney General.
The Kenyan Attorney General?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the people who are being sued were NEMA and all of these people. Oh. AG appeals.
Mm.
And I think they lost the appeal and now they're going to the Supreme Court. And for me, the thing about it is that it's not as if these people were faking their deaths.
Yeah, they're
like
sick.
Like they died, they're sick. Like we went there and we with their agreement, performed tests on 55 people. All of them, in a community of 3,000 guys, so that's a fairly big sample size. All of them had lead poisoning. All of them. So unaona watoi wanakufa, wamama, you know, they can't carry their pregnancies to term.
Yeah.
Wengine wako na maskini ailments, ingine yani ajab. And generally the health in that community is crazy. Like
so
from the time
also
tulienda huko,
mpaka
wasai, I think I know maybe of 4 or 5 people who we interviewed who have died.
Yeah.
Mm.
Na hiyo lead poisoning pia affect watoi brains,
exactly. Sindio? Yeah. You mental development, especially when it's needed at a young age, they don't develop to their full potential. It's crazy. That's why watu wali ban lead in paint and stuff like that in the 80s.
Yeah.
But you have a smelting plant right next to a community.
Oh. Because even that's why there's unleaded fuels, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, cost of corruption, like what we're saying, the cost is not the billions that you see people stealing. It's how it affects the quality of my life. And the quality of your life can seem good. Kama wase wa Embakasi, walidhani ati kuna explosion itafanyika. Wase walikuwa kwa apartment zao ki Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it looks like Armageddon has come. Why? Because someone chose to be corrupt.
Yeah. And the worst thing about Kenya is just keep getting away with it.
Girl, listen, the owner said he's running a garage. Not a like
exactly
refilling station, yeah.
You know. Out of honor to like a few years down the road, you know, that guy might get off scot-free. And
And
accountability
then,
ni kitu muhimu sana.
Chiko nini. Na nini, on the other side, so now tumeangalia politicians. So politicians start with bribes and then it goes to threats. So what sort of threats mtu pataga? Ni call ama ni text, like then akwaga like ukicheza?
It's something like that. So they won't threaten you directly or they'll usually say it through someone. These days, what we see is that you'll start to get strange calls from various numbers. Certain people start, mtu anakutumia 20 bob mpesa, alafu wana reverse. Just like weird things to find out who you are. Then now phishing attacks on your phone. Then now, like, if things get worse, now they escalate.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say that it was a politician who murdered this guy. But at the most rudimentary level, inaweza kuwa, kuja tuonge. Alafu disappear. Oh. Sniper. See, that's what happened to him.
Okay. Alafu pia hiyo kutuma nini sinza kuwa mbaya sana. Hiyo kutuma do. Because wakituma do sinao as a...
Records.
As a journalist, you have to reverse it immediately. Exactly. Sindio?
Yeah.
Call Safaricom because wanaza tumia yuko nini. Alafu, what happens with this story envelopes? Because I remember tuko tunaongea na... Tukonongena Nonini, and you're asking Nonini about his visit to the current residence last year during the elections. And he said this interesting thing, because alisemaga, huko, envelope lazima. And I remember thinking about it, yes, these are artists. What about journalists? Mkiendaga pahali kuna time mkona part your envelope, and how does that affect your
it's
job?
It's such a pervasive thing, Africa, let me tell you. And it's been there, it was there when I started. I don't think it's going to change for some time. It's very pervasive. And what you need to do is to be aware of it so you can know how to avoid it. Let me give you an example. There's a certain fairly prominent senior, or I'll call him a leader, used to run an institution. And when I joined the newsroom, his press conferences would always be at on a Sunday before the 1 o'clock news. Why he chose a Sunday is because he always knew you'd get coverage. But more than that, he would pay people to go and cover him. So there was a time I was sent as a cub reporter to go there. And then nikaona a fairly senior reporter from my newsroom who was off duty that day.
Ametokea.
So nashanga. Na hii si story kubwa, like, you know what he's saying is, hey, boss, before you know it, okay, watu wa group fulani ni wangapi? You know? And that's how it would happen. Obviously, what changed the amounts was the 2007 election. Wow. Those weren't envelopes, those were books. Guys were getting.
Okay.
Hey.
So hii time ya kwanza ukienda ilikuwa thao kanga pipi?
Ah, si unajua ni thao moja, thao mbili.
Oh, okay.
So me, I'm there with my USIU ethics and I'm scandalized.
Shindwa ni gani hizi?
Hey, ni gani hizi bana we? So nimempea nini dere. Another time, wacha niseme hii ni
kitabu. Oh, ni ya kitabu. Ni ya kitabu ni poa.
But suffice to say that kuna mtu alijaribu, mtu senior sana. Alinipatia pesa. And I told his PA when we are going in there, and God is my witness, and I also have other witnesses. When we are going in there, we are not going in there for bribes or what have you. Us guys are doing our jobs. That time, me and Moha, and you know, we're very senior. Like, it's not the sort of thing that you'd expect that Nini has to do. But this guy is also a senior guy. So I think he was so used to doing it. So he was like, John, thank you very much. And then he goes into his drawer and removes a big amount of cash.
Yeah. K. kitu kangapi? So hivi.
Ai. Mm. Kaso mbili hivi.
Yeah, okay.
Just for an interview.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, you don't want to embarrass the guy. Like, it was such a weird, awkward situation. Because he's a very senior guy.
Yeah.
You don't want to embarrass the guy, but at the same time, you're like, okay, what do we do?
By senior, ni cabinet secretary, amani.
Let's just put it that senior. If I said his name,
yeah,
not just everyone would know who it was. Okay. And if I even guessed by doing something, everyone would know who it was. He was very, very senior.
Yeah.
So I... After he leaves the office, I call his PA and we're going down in the lift. Nani limsomea. I'm like, you guys, what is this?
Oh, okay. So you had to take the money.
I had to take the money. I had to take it just so that he can feel like I'm not being rude.
Yeah, you want
or
to go and
whatever.
Report.
You know, these are very, I say senior both in terms of, you know, his
rank,
but also he's older than me.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
So you don't want to be disrespectful. And I wish I had been a bit more disrespectful. So, nikaingia, tukaingia lift and, you know, and...
So, we na Moha?
Me, Moha, Sam, Kasim. Tulikuwa lift moja na yeye.
So, ni bahasha down. Moja ama kila mtu ampati
no,
bahasha?
No, nilikuwa ni bahasha moja.
Okay.
So and I don't know why he chose to give it to me. Like, I was like, okay. Why me?
You're the chosen.
So anyway, nikamwambia PA, bro, we talked about this. This is a sensitive story.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, this is our integrity. You know, so we don't do this. Please take this money back and tell him, pole. Sikuchuna hata moja. Me, I looked, I saw like the size of the amount. I knew what it was.
Well, hafu na tani kuulize, was the story going to paint him in a negative way? Ama he just felt like, let me, these people just need to be paid.
It was more like he felt like that way. And you see, that's the thing. It's also a political culture.
Yeah.
But it's also a culture in the private sector. I can't tell you how many people have come to me and asked me, okay, we'd like for you to investigate this story. I'm like, oh, okay, so what do you need? I'm like, you just give me the information that you have. And they're like, ah, you know, we can also facilitate. I'm like, no, just give me the information that you have. It's our job to do this.
Yeah.
So like, especially now when I join Africa Uncensored, like a lot of the times that I've been approached in that way, like, ah, do this story. I'm like, it's a newsworthy story anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you wouldn't need to pay me. And even if you wanted to pay me, I wouldn't accept it. And this culture of you paying guys is the reason why your stories never get picked up. One final story on that. The wife of a very senior politician.
Kabla tu utoke kwa one final, wacha nikupatie kitu moja. So you know who benefited when you returned the money?
Yeah, of course. Umse hakurudisha.
I'm sure
he was like, ah, yeah, I'll do it. I'm sure he even had a tear in his eye.
You see?
So but you as God see. Is my witness, that is what happened.
But niko sure, yes, Ali kuprovia, someone can actually eat ethics.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, so the wife of a senior?
This one has to be now my final story. You guy nile, tumekaza.
Watu watalia. Watu watalia kustakunitana. Because we don't
one final story.
Yeah.
The wife of a very senior politician.
Yeah.
Ahead of these past elections comes and tells me, hey, John, we really like what you're doing. Da, 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 da. We'd like for you to do a, you know, a fluff piece about this guy.
Yeah.
And so I tell her, look, I don't do that kind of journalism. Like, I appreciate
what's a fluff piece?
Like, it's PR.
Okay.
PR too, yeah. And you just portray
someone in a good way.
In a good light.
Yeah, yeah.
So, nini, so kamwambia huwa mimi sifanyi story kama hizo. You know, and vile nikwambia me, my credibility is what I eat. So I can't be doing those things. The only way I'd accept you doing, to do a story is if I'm able to tell both sides and if I'm able to get hard access to this person.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, the access we can organize. And the one of both sides, I'm not sure. Let me get back to you. Of course, she never got back to me. But why I'm telling this story is because she told me that for weeks she had been paying very senior people in a specific newspaper to have this her husband's stories run. And they would run for a few days and then they'd die. They'd run for a few days and then they'd die. And so she was getting tired of constantly going back. Anarudi kwa mfuko yani anawali. kulipa. Na si unajua nao ukiwa kwa hiyo level na again nikukutajia ni nani?
Yeah.
Utamjua.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you get to that level si basha ya thao moja
thao. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
ni
yeah.
50k na
kwenda juu.
You know.
Mm.
And I was telling her that you know that's the reason why you're never going to get fair coverage because anybody who will come to cover you will expect that you're going to pay them.
Yeah.
And that's why like guys blame the journalists for being subjective, but there's also this culture that's feeding this subjectivity, right? And I mean genuinely,
yeah,
maybe I've been out of like legacy media for a while, but a lot of the journalists that I come across today who are independent journalists, a lot of them are a lot more ethical than I remember legacy journalists being.
Yeah,
a lot of them are a lot more ethical, and that's why I was saying this young generation, this young generation can change things.
Yeah,
it can.
Okay. Kusaizi sindo nafikiri hawa wasaizi sindo, I think because there's a lot of Instagram reporters, but I think them they'll be more easily influenced because ya kitemtiwa na gari nafikiri if I can post this on Instagram.
But exactly, you can be exposed very easily. Ni wangapi wameenda wamefloss kitu nine now 2 days online, 2 days down the road online unacheki kumbe amenunuliwa hii na mtu fulani nini nini.
Yeah,
you get so the risk of exposure is much much higher, so maybe that's something that's holding them. But I have to say like there are a lot of very ethical journalists these days, and in as much as that culture exists and it's bad and it's pervasive, I'd say in Kenya we are a hell of a lot better than other African countries.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, najua
ah, man tembea.
Mm.
Situation in, let me give you like West Africa.
Yeah.
Ooh. The stories that you hear, man, you're like, hey. You know.
No, will I report outside Kenya?
Yes, as you can wanna report.
Okay,
so but KTN who are sikuwa naenda sana siku hizi from time to time. Na tunajaribu sasa actually now from now going forward we'll be doing a lot more African stuff.
Yeah. Because the name is called African Censored. Lazima tukutafuta tena jo. Sisi tuko. We are just getting started. So African Uncensored. Yeah. This was the interesting thing. I remember you are the top of your game. Then askia umequit. Umeanzisha kitu yako na kunashindwa. After that time internet was not internet. Like this was way before saa hizi. Kwani uliamua kuquit? Like
I think vile tulikuwa tumefikiria juu haikuwa tu ndoto yangu peke yangu.
Yeah.
Mimi, Kasim na Moha.
Yeah.
Tulikuwa tume dreamy dream for some time. Like for a long time.
Okay.
So the plan was that I leave first ni set up I set up a few things ndio sasa wengine watoke. But what to answer your question, what I was thinking about was am I going to be able to survive in this environment knowing that there's a lot more interest in censorship of what was happening in the newsroom. Like people who are in the newsroom between 2013 and I want to say 2017 can tell you. Don't take my word for it. Ask any journalist that you respect. There was a lot more interest in what was happening. And a lot more like the Kenyatta regime, I have to say, was very sensitive to to bad press.
Okay.
And they let people know. They let people know about it. And so for us, what we thought was that this can't get any better. Because if you look forward, who's going to come after him and who's going to come after him? So it's time for us to step out. Then, I mean, I'd always had the dream of running my own like journalism thing. And it had been a dream that I'd had since maybe around 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
So for me, it was also now just fulfillment to try and see whether I could do it. Sahi tuko, 8 years down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
To mejaribu. I mean, I have to say like hapo.
But on the back.
You know, yeah. It's been tough. It's been very tough.
Yeah.
But like the dream is finally, you know, it's coming true.
Mm.
And you mentioned one of the things that I'm most proud of, title deals.
Yeah.
It's a story that someone else from our organization did that was powerful, that was strong.
The lady, what's her name?
Joy Kirigia.
Yes, yes.
And Sam was also a producer.
Mm-hmm.
That I had very little to do with in terms of now actually reporting, maybe just support.
Yeah.
And what that tells me is that if we keep doing what we are doing, we can replicate the kind of journalism that we want to see.
Yeah.
And we'll create new people who now can have their own stories and their own legacies of doing things right.
Yeah.
And that for me is my biggest like joy. It used to be personal, you know, like achieving certain goals and stuff as an individual. For me now, and my mentor actually like made me more alive to this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if one day when you're an old man, your son comes and he tells you, hey, I met this really super famous or super great journalist. And he told me, hey, man, your dad, big him up, bana. This guy helped me do this, that, and the other. So for me, that's where I am.
Okay.
For me, it's to build the road now for other guys to pass.
Mentor ako? Nani? Is this someone you can mention?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I call him my mentor. I don't think he likes me calling him my mentor. A mentor. His name is Wahoro.
Yeah.
He's just a really cool, smart guy.
Yeah.
He's 20 years older than me.
Mm.
In fact, we're working on a podcast together, and
it's the future. This is the future.
Streams kiasi.
Yeah.
No, it's a future, honestly. And I have to say, like I said, your podcast lazima nikiwa kwa gram.
Yeah.
Lazima nipitie kwenu.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Your jinga rapture mesema nini, or what guest you guys have. It's so refreshing to hear, like, just like different stuff, like all the time.
Okay. Yes, so so maybe tukimalizia, acha ni apologize kwa wase kuzo sata niuliza jo utakuaje na Alanamu for 2 hours. Sisi tulikuwa niko naambia Ian tukipata 2 hours jo mse ni busy. Tukipata 3 hours, that's the sweet spot. atujeza ku get nini, cause tuna guess unataka ku help. So lazima tutakutafuta like another time. But asante jo, tumeshukuru sana.
Honestly, the pleasure is mine. Nimeshukuru sana, and like I said on the phone when you reached out.
Yeah. I had to introduce myself.
Imagine, bana.
Jina
langu ni Mwafrika.
He told me. Ati I've talked to Alan. Aliambia like, hey, I told him my name is Mwafrika.
Yeah,
like, what do you mean you're Mwafrika?
Hi, man. I was like, who is this who's introducing?
Mkikuwa pale juu, we never expect muna tuona agati kiwa hapa chini. I don't know if that makes sense.
Hi, bro. But where hauko hapo chini? Umekuwa on top of your game for how long?
Yeah, but it was like very... Should I say niche?
That no, let me tell you what I think you don't realize. And again, there's another friend of mine who like really switched me on to this.
Yeah.
What you guys did at Ghetto Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And what everybody now who's come after you is doing is give a completely new meaning to what it is to be in media.
Yes.
And whose voice is listened to.
Watu
walikuwa na shangaa ati nini, msia naenda anasoma news na Sheng.
Yeah.
You know, in the mainstream, guys thought of it as a joke.
Yeah.
But they forgot who you're speaking to. Na Mwafrika, I can tell you, like, there's so many people who you've influenced, you. So many more than possibly even me. Just by being you and by, like, Ghetto... opening up that opportunity for a completely new way of looking at Kenya.
Yeah.
That's what I credit you guys most for.
Okay.
Like,
Sante.
You know, one day, historia ikiandikwa, jina yako, Rapture, Maji, and all of the people who've worked at Ghetto, and all of the people who are now creating new narratives, they'll be somewhere. So, usiaji angalia ati uko chini. Apana.
Hasizi, Musa Magele, like, ni poa, unajua kienda from the point of mtu akujui, ataka akujui kwa poa. But kienda, unijui! Alafu kwe, honestly they don't know you, you might take offense and that, so I always like kuji na kuja hivyo, but eh, so vile nimesema jo nimeshukuru and ili enjoy sana nini yako ya financially literate
no it's finance financially incorrect.
Oh, Barack is only financially incorrect. Yeah, incorrect. And it's such a good podcast, yeah, because we like talking about that. Barack manyana plan kumtafuta. Even I remember I talked about that interview kwa one of the podcasts. Nikibonga jo nini. So yeah, so tumeshukuru. I think the next time kwa sababu nataka to go personal because people love when I now go to the personal stories. We didn't go there. So next time maybe tukikupata tena. If you're lucky, we'll go personal. But asante sana.
Imekwani? 268.
Yeah. Yeah, so 268.
Yeah. Yeah. Alafu kwa sasa waswa look out for kitabu yako. Unajua niliona ulikuwa me advertise. So now before ukuje because you know I have to do my research. I go to your page and I see the book. Alafu nikaanza kuambia yeah, I'm trying to order find this book and like it's nowhere.
Yeah, so ilibidi ni what do you call it, stop taking pre-orders until we are finished.
Yeah.
So in let me say in June, latest July of this year.
Okay.
The book will be out.
Yeah.
It's just that the year that I chose to write it was a tough year for me.
Okay.
So kuna vitu mob sana iliingia hapo katikati, ziliingia katikati including now masters nini vitu kama hizo, alafu pia job na pia you know uchumi ikiwa mbaya lazima utafute for a lot of people when you are employing guys. So that sort of like got in the way of finishing. But yeah, tuko njiani. And by June, July, those who've pre-ordered, watakuwa nayo.
Yeah.
And I'll bring you a copy.
Okay, sawa, sawa. Tutasainunua.
Well, atausi pre-order. Just me, I'll bring you personally. Wengine wataninua.
Sawa, sawa. Everybody else pays. At least tumalize hii stories. Yeah. Tukihaibiwe kitabu. So vile kuna sema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend to tell a friend. Yeah. Tukimalizia 268, tukisema Eko Nene.
Eko Nene.
Naweza sema Eko Nene pia.
Yeah,
Eko Nene.